You are God's masterpiece. You may not feel like it, but you are. And I was listening to you, you know, your what's going on, and you know, all of us have something. You know, there's always something going on that can upset us, make us feel sad, make us feel isolated, make us feel on our own. That's what the job is anyway, of the enemy, to isolate and control you, to make you feel that there's no one else that can even understand your situation. But not every situation is the same, but there may be very much identical situations and similar situations that go on in people's lives. And the biggest one is the emotions. Like, if Satan can get you all shook up there, that's why Jesus always used to say, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me, right? You know, we're to control our thinking. We're to be aware that if Satan can jumble the mind circuits with all the fears, worries and doubts, all the things that we haven't got yet, all the things that we can't see happening, then he can just play us, you know. He can just keep us where we are. He's quite happy to leave us where we are in that situation, you know. But God has made a way out. And we got to remember one thing. Everything that Jesus Christ accomplished is accomplished. So our deliverance is accomplished. Our healing is accomplished. Our prosperity is accomplished. Our relationships are accomplished. Everything is done. We're complete in Christ. Okay? Everything through him is complete. But, oh, you're complete. Well, why are you ill? You're complete. Well, why are you poor? It's because we haven't tapped in to what is been made complete, what Christ accomplished. It's there, it's done. It's all in the heavenlies. Everything is there in the spiritual realm, and it's in containers of words. And when those words are released to us, then we have to meet it with faith. When we receive the words with faith, like, you know, you are prosperous. Now, the carnal mind will kind of come in there, or the educational mind will come in there. No, you're not, because your bank account said 000 minus whatever, right? But faith doesn't look at it like that. Faith says, no, I have great abundance in there. You know, and what we've been doing the confessions, which has been great. Saying what we want, not what we see. One of the key things in that is not only we got to see it in our minds so we can hold it in our hands, we've got to have the emotion of that. Yes, I've got it. You know, we joy and rejoice like we've already got it. We got to see that we've already got it. We got to see the end results. When we pray, we need to pray the end result, what we want. Let your request be made known unto me. But we say the problem. We don't say the answer, what we want. Let your request be made known unto me. God, I got a problem. That's not giving God your request. The request is he's saying, come to me, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. There's a difference in praying with casting your cares. There's casting your cares, and there's letting your request be made known. So casting your cares is saying, Father, this is a care in my heart right now. And I know that your perspective is totally different from what I can feel, hear, see, smell, taste, and touch about it. I know you've got the answers, you've got the solutions. Help me get into that place of receiving. And help me to get in the place of confession, of speaking in line with the desired result, rather than saying the problem, you know, this is the reason why I'm not getting this, and this is the reason why I'm not having interaction there. We're playing it wrong. We're playing it wrong. We're not using the things that God set up rightly. And so let your request be made known unto God. Finances. Father, my request for my finances is that I really do manifest what's rightfully mine in the spiritual, and that you'll bring it into the physical. Now, I align myself with your words. I am prosperous. I'm actually overloaded, and we're full with abundance right now. But we got to live in the end results. We got to pray in the end results. We got to speak in the end results. And that takes a practice, you know, because we're so used to getting people to see our need. Well, you know, you've got to see what's going on with me, you know. And then we feel good because we shared it, thinking that God's going to do something. But he's not. He's not, is he? He can't, because we've just confessed the situation again. We're keeping the situation the same. We need to let our request be, like, this is going to happen. I am seeing my grandson. I have great abundance. The bills are paid. The mortgage is paid. Money's come through. It's in my bank. It may not be there. You're lying. You're not lying. You're calling faith. That's what faith is. Listen, what does the scripture say? The just shall live by faith, not by sight. We're not supposed to go by what we see in the bank account or how people are behaving towards us. We're not supposed to go by that. That's the trick. We're supposed to supersede that with faith. What do you see in your mind? What you see in your mind about that situation, you will hold in your hand eventually. But you've got to see that you've already got it. You've got to play it out in there. Abraham became. He had to have his faith worked with. God worked with his faith. He became fully persuaded. We got to become fully persuaded that what we need is already met. That is already manifested, even if it isn't physically manifested. We got to see it manifested here in our minds, and then we'll have it. Because we start to speak that way. We start to act that way. You're the actor in your movie. You decide the outcome. God has given you power and new authority with the words and with what you're going to say and what you're not going to say. He's done everything he's going to do. Now, so when we go to God, it says in 1 Peter, cast all your cares to him. Because he cares for you. So number one, we recognize God really does care for me. He cares about my situation, my financial situation, my health situation, my relationship situation, and where I am. He cares about all those details more than I do. And that's the truth of it. God cares about your situation more than you do yourself. But for him to really go to work, he needs you to activate what's already there, what he made available in Christ. It says in Hebrews, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and to find help in the time of need, right? So we are already in his presence, and we want to go boldly before God, boldly. Father, I need this. Listen, when I wake up in the morning, if I'm feeling emotional, and I do quite often, and I don't know why sometimes, do you know what I say out my mouth? I refuse these negative feelings to have any access in my day. I rebuke you out. I refuse to worry. I refuse to meditate upon this feeling. Because that's what happens. What happens when you get an emotional feeling and you wake up? We tend to dwell on it and look at it and analyze it. Don't do that because you're enlarging it. And it's like they're going in to spy out the land, the children of Israel. And they saw themselves as grasshoppers, but the others, few, seen themselves as victorious. They didn't see themselves as grasshoppers. They see themselves as well able to take on those giants. You got to see yourself as little old David there, right? Well able to take the giant. You know, and what did David... David gives the greatest example of faith and confession. He had the mountain right in front of him and he spoke to it. And he told that mountain what he was going to do. And then he went and done it. This is what I'm going to do. And this is what God's going to do this day. He decreed, he declared, he confessed. This is what's going to happen to you. He had no evidence of that. He could have run, as he run, tripped over. And the giant could have grabbed hold of him, couldn't he? But he said, this is what is going to happen to you this day because you defile the armies of the living God. And I'm going to take your head off. And it wasn't no idle threat. He meant it and believed with all his heart. He had practice being the shepherd boy that he was. Guarding the sheep, looking out for them, fighting off lions, fighting off bears. Goliath wanted nothing to him. And he already seen that God delivered him from the lions and the bears. And he knew that God could deliver him from this Philistine that was threatening Israel. Israel's army. So he had great confidence in his God. We got to have great confidence in our God. That God is going to come through. And he's going to bring the deliverance that we need. He's going to bring the answers. And then in our minds we got to see that we've already got it. Now if you've got whatever your problem is, I encourage you tonight, or this evening, or the daytime, wherever you are, write it down. Write it down, right? This is what's going on in my life right now. Write it down so you can see it in front of you, right? And then you need to start talking to it. You need to start telling it what to do. You need to stop putting up with the shit and start being a believer, because that's what God called you to be. He didn't call us to get in our deep into our feelings. He didn't get us to get caught up with worry, fears and doubts and meditate upon it. That will keep you where you are. Now, I know. Don't get me wrong. I'm not hard-hearted, right? I know these emotions are very, very strong. They are really, really strong. I get them. Listen, I get them. Believe me. But I know how to control my thinking. And I know how to bring my emotions subject to the obedience of Christ, right? because it comes from thoughts, and it comes through meditating upon those negative thoughts. So you wake up not feeling so great, and then you think, oh, you get up and you're like, oh, well, I don't feel so great today. God, you know. And then, and we've all done it, right? We've all done it. We've got to stop that and practice. Right, we get up, something's going on. I refuse to feel like this way. I refuse to even meditate upon this. God, I give you praise and I give you glory that my day is a blessed day, that you've gone before me. Your angels have gone before me to prepare the way. You're arranging every good thing for me to come my way. And that I have an avalanche of abundance and blessings from you. And they start with thoughts. That's what God will bless you with. Thoughts and words to declare and to speak. It starts with that. That's where it all starts. God has given us the power to get wealth. He didn't give you gold and he didn't give you a nuclear bomb, right? He gave you his words. And that's what we listen to and that's what we speak. And then we need to be strong in that. We need to be strong in that and not in our... We're too strong in our emotions. We're too strong in our negative situations. I'm talking as a, you know, as a general when I say we. I tell you, I'm practicing. And yes, and I've got the same as everybody else. I get the same thing. And I'm not going to say I'm super spiritual because I'm definitely not. But I know one thing. When I decide to be strong and I refuse to think on those negative emotions, not letting them have a go at me, not letting them overawe me, my day goes fantastic. Everything starts to go there. And sometimes that might take all day till I sit down here at night time and I'm like, wow, now it's released. It's taken all day for that. But I kept focused. I kept sharing. I kept ministering. People are calling me. I'm giving my best sharings. I'm giving the best things that God has ever put in my mouth are coming out of it to people. I'm getting inspired left, right and centre. But inside, I'm, you know, it's like all turned up because I... You know, I'm fighting this negative thought or emotion about things, you know. So, you know, we've always, the one thing you need to recognize here that we're all going through it, right? Some may not be going through it right now, but there'll be a time when they will. No one's infallible. Not one person. Not me, not Sangat, not Fred, not you, not Lorian, not your mum, not your dad, not your brother, your sister, auntie, uncles. Not anyone. Even Jesus was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, right? He went through the same things. He knows. He knows. We got help. We got help. God is our help. He's our helper. Wow. We cannot live. We are more than super conquerors, guys. We do live from the place of triumph. Right now, you're triumph. You've got to say it now. I am triumphant now. I'm going to get the desires of my heart because I believe God. And I'm saying what my God says. I fight for my faith every day. If I need to fight for it, I'll fight for it. And no one's going to stop me. Even backbiting and even people saying, oh, he doesn't do it right. He's not kind of got it right. He's not really following the dots. You know what I say? Because I'm moving with my God. And I've had to do a couple of confronting the last couple of days with certain people that are titter-tattling, as I call it. And I won't put up with any from anyone. I don't care who you are, where you come from. I've done it. I've been keeping my mouth shut just in case I get rejected. You can't live your life like that. We've been called to be believers. And we're not called to be, you know, having a go at people or anything like that. But when it's necessary to do, when it's necessary to tell someone to shut their mouth, then you tell them to shut their mouth. Who do you think you are talking about me like that? I'm a son of God. Do you know your words are going to come back and bite? Even if you talk about, even if you're right. You should not be talking about. And we're to restore people in the spirit of meekness if they're wrong or if they're off. And do you know what? We're all going to say things wrong. And my heart is pure. You know what I mean? I love God with all my heart, soul, mind and strength. I would stand up and I would declare in front of everyone, Jesus is my Lord. You know, that's it. I did it in the sauna the other day with all these Muslims that were in this sauna. And they was going to tell me about Jesus Christ. And I told them to shut their mouth. You listen to me, I'll tell you about Jesus Christ. You don't tell me nothing about my Lord and Saviour. They were shocked. They were like, oh, see, like, I got some boldness. And it's coming from God. It's not even coming from me. But the point is, we don't have to put up with whether it's people, whether it's emotions, whether it's circumstances, whether it's lack, whether it's sickness. We don't have to put up with any weakness. Yes, we go to prayer with God. And we don't complain in your prayer. Don't be a complainer. Don't be like the children of Israel, right? Go to God. It's a practice. You have to practice it, right? Because I used to win time, me, in my brain. Oh, God, everything going wrong. Everyone's against me. Everyone's talking about it. And nothing ever changed. I had to change. It was me. Father, I thank you that people are speaking good about me. I thank you, Father, that I'm favoured in front of people, that you cause me to come up smelling of roses, that you're going to vindicate me right in front of their faces, that you're going to cause me to be strong and people are going to bow because of you, because of your goodness and your grace. There's all these little things that can hinder us, that can stop us, but we've got to not pay attention. But yes, we can confront things when it comes up. We can put things in this right order if we're inspired to. And the last couple of times I put the world to rights because I was really inspired to by God. And I decided I'm going to be very bold. I'm going to say whatever I need to say. And if it upsets people, it's going to upset people. Jesus didn't hold back and I'm not going to hold back. But I better be right, you know. And I said to God, if you want me to be this way, then I will be that way. But you have to help me to be right. I don't want to, you know, be wrong. And if I make a mistake, I make a mistake. But the point is, we don't have to put up with shit. We don't have to keep our mouth shut. If someone says something and you know it's not right, you don't have to keep your mouth shut just to keep the peace. There's wisdom in what we do. So, yeah, I mean, obviously use the wisdom of God and use love. You know, use the love of God. Like the person I did speak to and correct, I prayed with at the end, you know. I said, let me pray. You know what I mean? And we just don't have to have that, because that's what lets the enemy come in. That's what lets the things go hard and makes it awkward. And then division comes and then we're more isolated, right? But getting back to how you're feeling, Jesus said this, right? For receiving, whatever it may be. And, you know, and I like going to the Gospels and I like to know what Jesus said about things, right? Talking about the fig tree in Mark 11:22. And you know, obviously Peter recalled to, you know, the remembrance of Jesus speaking and cursing the fig tree and it withered away. And in 11:22, and it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. We know that means have the faith of God. So it's available to have God's faith, right? And we can, with spirit filled, we got spiritual understanding, we can speak like God also, as God energizes us. And it says, for verily, truly, I say unto you that whosoever, you could put anyone in that, unbeliever, believer, Satanist, law of attraction people, whoever you want to stick in there, you can stick in there, that whosoever shall say unto this problem, Jesus is showing you how things work and how we should work and how we should operate. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, we know that refers to problems. He might have been talking about a mountain, but figuratively in the scriptures, mountains refer to problems. So what's your problem? Jesus didn't say pray about the problem. You could give that care to God about the problem so you can get clear in your mind and peaceful so that you can start saying about your problem and getting out of the way, right? That whosoever shall say unto this problem, be thou removed. Talk to the problem. Tell it to get out of your way. You've got to give it a command, right? That's using your authority, right? Like when Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. When the guy responded in faith, the power of God was activated for that to actually take place and happen, right? He met with the power of God through his faith, through the words. The words is the power. The words from God, that living energy, it was met with faith and bang, there you go, there's your solution. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. You've got to give it a directive, tell it where it's going. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things which he says shall come to pass. You've got to believe that what you're saying is going to happen. He shall have whatsoever he saith. But this is where I wanted to get to. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, right? And that word desire means ask or beg or call for. What do you do when you pray? You're calling to God, right? What did God say? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which you know is not. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Now if you go back through that first, the word them is not in any original Greek text, so it shouldn't be there. So it should read like this. 11:24 should read like this. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you call for or desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. Believe that you receive and you shall have. Whatever you're calling to God for, believe that you receive and you shall have. That is a promise. That is automatic when we do that with faith. Believe that you receive and you shall have. I will see my grandson within the next 3 months. Believe it, or whatever God works in your heart to say about it. You go to God for the words. Give me the words. Give me the inspiration, God. My debt, my rent, my mortgage, whatever you got, is paid in full. Is already paid. And I believe that. Act like you've got it. Act like you've got £1 million in your bank. Act like you've got £1,000. No, I used to say, my wallet was always empty. Always empty. As soon as I started to learn about confession, I used to say, my wallet is always filled with money. And I have an abundance in there, not a few pennies either. My wallet is abundantly blessed. I've always got cash. I don't know how it gets to me. It gets to me, though. I call it. God says we're to call those things which are not as though they were. Right, they're not manifested in front of us. Light was always there, but it wasn't revealed. God is light. God said, let there be light. He called those things which are not as though they were. Whatever he called at the beginning of creation came into existence, right? The substance for it was there. The elements for it was there. That's the substance, the elements. What is this? What's that? Was it made up of atoms and substance? The substance for it. Money is substance. Money is spiritual as well, right? All depends how you look at it, like perspective. That is atoms. What are you made of? Atoms, right. So call some more atoms to you in the form of money. Money, I call you to my wallet. I call you to my purse. I call you to my bank account. I call you to my PayPal account. I call you to my bank. Money, you come to me. You are my friend. I am your master. You are my servant. It's not the other way around. I'm not chasing you. You come to me. Right? And then you've got to get that type of tone. And your whole financial world will change. It won't take long. Promise you. I had absolutely nothing. Talking straight with you. I had absolutely nothing. I was struggling as a believer. It's shameful. It was shameful. Until I started honouring God and then learning this. And then God blesses me all the time. Out of the blue. Out of the blue. You know, and I'm not asking it. I have not asked one person for a penny. The only time I ever asked was John Kelly. And I asked him if I could borrow some money. I didn't ask him to give me anything. I said, John, could I borrow this and I'll pay you back so and so. And he said, Lawrence, not a problem. And he lent me the money. And when I went to pay him back, like I promised, he said, it's a gift. Keep it. That's the only time I've ever asked for money was in the form of borrowing. I haven't said to people, please give me, I'm full-time for God, you're going to give me. We didn't know anyone. When I went full-time in 2005, I didn't know anyone in the USA. In 2003, I didn't know, the only people we knew in the USA was when we went to the Rock of Ages and all those people with Craig Martindale and all that lot, right? We were left on our own for 10 years. We didn't know anybody down in London or Oxford. There was believers down there. Didn't know them. Didn't know Taylor Overby. Didn't know Tom West. Didn't know Lorien. Didn't know anyone. Didn't know Sanger. And I prayed for 10 years, God, send someone into my life that will show me what I need to do, to give me a word. Give me a word through someone. And do you know who God sent? Sanger. And he turned up at my house the first time I met him. Didn't know him from Adams. Only heard about him. He stayed at my own for the one night. We'd done a fellowship at my mum's. And he said, oh, okay, so now I know why I'm here. You're going to move the word in all of the UK, in the whole of Europe. And that was my word that I'd been praying for 10 years. And then from there, we just took off. Can you see? So it was like 10 years of nothing. But God kept us going. You know, I had a little window cleaning around. That was keeping us moving. And then I gave that all up in 2005, not knowing anyone that we know now. No one in Europe. We didn't know anyone in Europe. Didn't know the Frenchies. Didn't know the Finnish. Didn't know the Norwegians. Didn't know no one. And when I went full time, all the people that had been standing with me for years, they stopped coming. They stopped fellowship and they stopped doing anything with God. The lot of them. There was like 30 odd people. Just stopped. And they've been faithful for years and they were around longer than me in the earlier days. Then they all just stopped. No one was abundantly sharing nothing. But God made a way. Because I made a decision to live unto him, see? So it's it's all about his grace and his love. And God will do for us the things. So we've got to live in the end results, guy. Live the life that you want, even if you haven't got it there in front of you. You know, and what I mean is, like, see yourself already debt-free. See yourself with abundance in your bank. Even if you haven't got it, you've got to see it. If you see it in your mind, you hold it in your hand. You've got to say what you want, not what you see. You've got to stop saying what the score is. People think that God's going to do something if you tell everybody else your problem. It's not. It's just going to stay the same. It's going to prolong your situation. And we just got to stop talking that way. We've got to stop telling everyone our problem. Get the people that can pray with us. You can tell one or two people you can trust that are going to speak good and are going to pray with you and going to believe with you. And then get confessing good yourself and keeping the right words and the right mind. And yes, you've got to work at it. It's a practice because those emotions are strong. The feelings of being lonely is strong. The feelings of failure can be strong. The feelings that God ain't going to come round can be really strong, right? I understand. I go through them myself. But God is faithful, man. I tell you, he's so faithful. And as long as we keep out his word in our heart and in our mouth, and we live in the end results, we not only got to see it and say it and feel it, we got to think that it's already done. We've got to live like it's already done. You know, if you think these actors, they play the part of another person, they have to get into character. In other words, they have to know who that character is in the story, and then they need to become that character when they're acting. So the real person becomes a different person, right? And the people that know the real person think, that's not him. He's a great actor, like he's really playing a great part there. Well, that's how we got to be. We got to act like a believer, right? We got to speak like a believer. We got to speak like we're prosperous. We got to speak like we're a millionaire. We got to speak like we're the healthiest thing that's since sliced bread, right? Or the good-looking thing, or the most prettiest thing since sliced bread. We got to see ourselves and play that part, right? And I've seen a funny post. I'll read it to you. I sent it to Jack, and he was laughing at it. And I've seen it on Facebook, and it says, a taxi driver, so there's this picture of a guy, and he's an old guy in his 80s, and he's got sunglasses on and a big, thick gold chain like I got here. And it says, a taxi driver rented a yacht and brought fake chains to pretend to be a billionaire and slept with the IG Instagram girls, models. So it says here, a 90-year-old taxi driver from Malaga, Spain, rented a luxury yacht, wore fake gold chains and posed as a billionaire to impress others. He successfully fooled Instagram models and influencers with the illusion of extreme wealth, leading to intimate encounters before the truth emerged that he was an ordinary taxi driver living out a fantasy through clever staging and confidence. This guy had great faith, really, but he put it to the wrong use, right? But that's how you kind of got to be. You got to become the person. You got to live that out. Yeah, everything's bumping. Everything's flowing great for me. I've got great relationships. I've got great finance. I've got great health. I've got a great ministry. I've got great open doors. You got to live it. You got to live it. You got to believe you already got it. Like that verse of scripture, I finish off now. I just finish off with that again. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever. What things soever. What, that means anything you desire when you pray, or you, that word desire again is call for, or beg, or ask, or require. Whatsoever things you ask when you pray, and that word is prosukamai, and that means like worship. You know, we're giving glory to God, we're worshipping God in that prayer. Like, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. Believe that you receive and you shall have. I think that's very simple, taking that word them out, which is not in any original text. Believe that you receive and you shall have. That's it. Full stop. End of that first of scripture, 11:24. So this stuff works. God's word works. The law of attraction stuff is just the law of faith. And there was a guy, I was in the sauna yesterday, there was a Muslim, there was this guy that was talking about the law of attraction, and there was me, right? And so this guy was going on, and I'm listening to what he's saying, and I said to him that everything you said was right. I said, but let me tell you one thing. You know, you don't give credit to the universe. You give credit to God who created the universe. And I said, and all the things that you're using is straight out of the Bible. Do you know that? Anyway, this Muslim was speaking as well, and he was in total agreement with me, this Muslim. He said, well, brother, I agree with everything you're saying. Yes, I understand, I understand. He was getting well excited, you know. And then I was saying that the one thing you're missing there, my friend, about manifesting the blessings, I said, is that you've got to say the blessings as well. You've got to speak it out or act. You know, it's not just having the thought and the emotion of it. You've got to speak it. You've got to act upon it. And I said, that's your missing part. And he said, oh, yeah. And God gave me more words for him. But, yeah, this is coming up quite a lot, this how to receive from God. Because God really wants us to have the best. And we've got to live that way. And that, if you're spending something, you've got to believe God to replenish the things as well. Get God to replenish your money. And get God to protect your relationships, you know. And if you need to confront, confront. And if you don't, don't. So anyway, that's what I want to share. Bless your hearts, my darlings.